Show me love. Show me love. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another Just Believe podcast featuring myself, Ryan Tricky, and my partner in crime, Mr. Andy Aitken. How are we doing?
Are you doing more to the point?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Are we okay here? Is the signal okay?
No, I thought I might have missed you a little bit at the start there. So I'm hoping, I hope it came through on the audio, but yes, no.
Okay.
All good, all good.
All good. So today's podcast, we're basically talking about evolving your empire. So it's possibly like, something that people think that tennis coaching, there's not money to be made from it. You can't make your millions, which is, is to a point true. But there's certainly ways and means to kind of evolving your business. And we thought we'd go through a few little ideas today. So I suppose just starting off, from within your kind of own coaching program, there's certain things that you can do to evolve your empire by adding different services. Obviously consolidating your kind of earnings per hour, so to speak. So what I mean by that is if you've got a team of three or four coaches and you've got three or four groups going on at the same hour. That is one way of utilizing other people at the same hour and obviously expanding your business. So you would make not only just what you're earning for that hour, but also what coach one, two, and three behind you are obviously doing as well. Obviously making sure that they're getting their hourly wage, nice and high. Racket stringing services, we talk about. I've got hopefully a clothing brand featuring my business coming out hopefully at some stage. So that's in a kind of a merch thing coming out. Grips, tennis balls, that type of stuff, fairly low key services, but obviously all add up to building the empire. But maybe moving further afield, Andy. Is there anything else you wanted to add maybe within your program?
No, I think you've pretty much come up with what it is. I think it's very much sort of there are different strands to tennis coaching businesses, stringing, merchandise. The coaching itself is obviously going to be having different strands, whether it's obviously being coaching, group coaching, individual coaching. So yeah, I think that's sort of the forefront and the visual of the business. So probably the majority of people, I guess you could put in possible, club management, so to speak, or court management as well. Some tennis coaches are potentially going to look after courts or look after a facility that may not need a committee. Places like Parks Tennis probably springs to mind. So yeah, that's probably that in a nutshell, I would say.
Yeah, so going back to, quite a good one, actually, that is that you've got people, because I'm definitely from a council-run site, as are you, I think, Andy, is that right?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, so, but obviously, like you say, there's guys, that if you can, obviously getting leases to your venues is definitely potentially worthwhile, because then obviously in my instance all the court like memberships and things like that, although you're looking after the running of the club and that type of thing, but there may be income generated from that, possibly from if you've got like a cafe or bar that you can run in the background as a a side business inside the clubhouse. That's always potentially another one. I know it kind of maybe takes you away a bit from coaching, but in terms of just building the empire, I suppose, is what we're talking about. So so let's just say, obviously, we've now got our main business up and going. We've been doing this for a little while, as a lot of us have probably experienced. And we're now looking to evolve even further. What do you think that looks like, Andy?
So I think, as you say, the evolution of what a tennis coach or a provider wants to do is essentially probably have multiple venues, right? You're looking at building most, first and foremost, probably locally if you can. Proximity to what you already know is going to be pretty paramount. You know a local area, you know the demographic, you know obviously potentially what works with a club or a parks venue, or yeah, venue in general that is going to hopefully bear good fruits for you. Essentially, that's why you'd be expanding, right? So if you feel like you've actually done really well at a venue, you're wanting to expand, but expansion always comes with great reward, but also great risk. So do you start to, you know, from the risk point of view, do you start to diversify yourself too much? If you're a bit like ourselves, we're very small teams. Do you want to employ people to come in? So you want to look after them and obviously grow a business, so to speak. And you go obviously from, you know, your revenue being quite, I would say substantial. I mean, obviously you and I probably do fairly well for ourselves to actually, if you pick up more venues, being a coach or a sports provider or whatever you may be, to then obviously really getting your brand or your name out there a little bit more and hopefully producing good work. And I think, yeah, essentially, look, at the end of the day, people expand first and foremost. Let's not beat about the bush for the money side of it. That's probably going to be certainly one of your top three reasons. That this one of the other reasons is going to be the opportunity. So might be a larger venue, might be an indoor facility, might be, you know, the sense that you've heard really good things about this venue and, you know, the committee work really well, or the coaches that are already there are really, really good. So yeah, you're probably doing it because that the actual site is really good. And the third one is probably actually the potential for a venue. So it might have a very little membership or capacity for play. So there's not very much going on. So there's an opportunity to expand it and make it bigger. Or there might already be a thriving, bustling membership, or the courts are really utilized. And it's a case of coming in and actually sort of just managing that and actually say, well, if it's not, you know, if the utilization for it is already good, I'm just coming in and probably just tweaking a few things, but I don't want to take away from the stuff that's already working well. So, yeah, that's probably, I would say, if there's anything you'd like to obviously add, please do, sort of your main reasons for expanding. But essentially, it would probably come back to those three, I would say.
I think sometimes when you've been in a job, opportunity, and I think maybe change of scenery might kind of come into that as well. So sometimes, we all get into a job we love and we still love. But you just want to have a change of environment, or just so that you can keep doing what you're doing, and obviously adding that extra business adds different challenge to different, which is quite exciting sometimes, having to go back as you were when you first started your first part of your business, and then going to the second one and not maybe duplicating it, so to speak, just, to give yourself the chance to grow, but also problem solving new ideas, new visions for that particular club, because, you get demographics and different areas breed different things, don't they? So you have to have those sort of considerations. The other thing maybe to talk about within that expansion thing, and obviously we talked about a few drawbacks, but obviously that is the side that okay, you might have a small team, but going into the new one might allow you to build a bigger team as well, so you get a bit more social. So coaching can sometimes be quite isolating. You're speaking to all your clients, but it's nice to have like a team of people to kind of, socialize with, or, on and off court, and, it brings that part of maybe that type of thing for yourself. But that's probably been the fifth reason, I suppose, perhaps. But yeah, I think it's important for you guys out there, for coaches, just to, not get too bogged down in your own job, and hopefully, you're gonna, with the rise of cost of living and things, you've got to think of different ways. Going alongside the lease side, so if you've had a lease and you've got ownership to those, well, leasehold to those courts, the other growing empire would be using like pickle and paddle, so expanding the activity range that you offer. So if you're currently just a one court club and you're just doing, you want to expand, it might just be bringing paddle tennis into that club, and that might just be the next bit of expansion that you need to kind of grow some wealth, but also popularity at the club, and kind of dovetailing memberships between both both sports, and obviously pickleball being the same thing. Generally they're seen as being a little bit easier to pick up, which for our sport is very, very, the tennis is quite tough to kind of just pick up a racket and rally. Definitely can be having lots of fun with it for sure. But we're talking about evolving your empire. If you've got different like ways and means for people to come to your venue and spend money, then obviously, you'll definitely take it. So that's probably what I'd maybe add to that one. Is there anything else you can think of that you might look to bring in to try and expand your company?
I guess it's like anything, it's sticking to what you're good at, or you know what you're good at. So, again, we're going to always come back to the coaching. The delivery of coaching is always going to be your bread and butter for the majority of people probably listening to this and in the coaching industry. It's trying to diverse. I think if there's an area that you really enjoy, I think it's certainly worth doing that. I mean, you've obviously got your PT qualification, as it were. I mean, obviously, I've looked at in the past, like becoming like a sports masseuse, for example. This is a good 5 to 10 years ago, just trying to have a different strand to my business, so that obviously if there was a period in the year that I wasn't enjoying it, I think this is one of the reasons why I looked at it. It was obviously just a one of those classic times you have sort of like those, not to say mental dips, but you sort of evaluate life and you're like, oh gosh, do I really want to continue doing this in the deep, dark, cold of December? So, sports masseuse, physiotherapist, getting a qualification in paddle, pickleball. I think they're probably, like you've already alluded to, just having a different strands to, I guess, coming back to the question. To diversify more, I think it's probably actually for me bringing in people that know like more about stuff that you don't. I think it's wealth of knowledge is so underutilized these days. You're gonna say you and I teamed up, we're gonna have crossover stuff that we already sort of know together, but you're gonna bring much better elements of something I don't know about, and I'm gonna bring elements that you don't know about. So you'd like to think that the team gets stronger by bringing more people in. Where there's maybe a link in the chain that is weaker, or maybe affects a business or potentially a business model, is potentially where, somebody doesn't have like vision aligned. I guess a lot of business people will say like everyone has to follow a vision and things like that, and I certainly get that. It sounds like very like task orientated and right, we're all going to sing by the same hymn sheet, but essentially that's how you're going to get it done. And if a business owner thinks that you're not doing that, then obviously that's where potentially jobs are lost, or you get disciplinaries and all the rest of it. And it sounds very drastic, but I think it's trying to share the same vision, isn't it? And but different people bring different stuff to it, and I think to expand and get better, I think it's much more, I think, knowledge these days. That's what I would say. I don't know whether you differ to that at all.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point about the times in the UK anyway. We are known to not have hot weather and dry weather all the way through the year, and probably have that little stereotypical thing of having to talk about the weather quite a bit, possibly. But yeah, so but in our case, do all of our parents and players, do they want to come out during the horrible wet seasons? Possibly not. And like you say, building strip like strands to your to what you already know is only going to be better for you. And I think the thing is, one thing maybe that I didn't mention is, you might also go to, in tennis terms, you might kind of go into refereeing, for example. So one thing that within our game is that a lot of people are going to play the game for a motivational reasons. So if you aren't currently a referee, you can obviously do grade sixes and sevens, very loosely within your club. But obviously, if you can then add refereeing to your bow, so to speak, then that's another kind of, let's say, the days are short and the works are a little bit weaker, and you can run a tournament, for example. That might just be another kind of few hours added to your week that you can either do, or you can bring somebody else in to kind of to run that for you. And obviously, sort the finances out yourself there. But I think, when you get to that kind of point, you want to be motivating your players. So we've got to think about population of your players coming into your program, and obviously how much they're doing in your program. Because is it fair to say, would you say that programs nowadays, they're not sort of doing multiple times per week as much as they used to, Andy?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think a lot of people, this comes back to times changing, really. You and I have discussed this a little bit in detail about, the population of players, children, probably more specifically, playing in coaching like twice a week. Most people come once a week and they have their fulfillment of tennis and that's sort of it. And trying to get people to come to individual lessons, for example, or to come to a social session, just seems to be less and less these days. So although I guess what we're talking about is retention is, great. And if you can get people come in week on week, month on month, year by year, that's really, really good and really is makes a healthy program. I guess for what we're sort of talking about is actually we always want a little bit more. We actually want every player in the program, say you've got a very small program of like 30 kids, for example, if you can get all those 30 kids, well, actually, let's just say 50% of those kids playing, you've then got 45 players, as it were. So you've got 15 of those kids playing. So you've got 45 attended places on a program. And so I think trying to get more people to play more often is probably one of the key. And I know we're digressing a little bit, but in terms of like a health of a program and a business and what you're trying to accomplish at a venue, I think it's also good to propose this to another venue that actually you're able to get people playing more. And actually, if people are playing more, they're enjoying your product more. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. And that probably could also go against you in some ways as well, couldn't it? So if your program isn't great, well, not isn't great, but if you go to somewhere else and then you bring your bits in and your products into them and then they don't like it, that can obviously hamper. So you've got to get the first bit right, haven't you? You've got to get your program up and people understanding what you're like as a person, So when you go to another venue and they ask for references and things like that, then you've got people to go back to that know your product and that they can kind of really reference you well if you're going to another one. And I think we also referenced, it's not easy kind of growing the empire, but obviously definitely opportunities out there, aren't there, that you can utilize. And I think it's just going in with the right mindset and obviously being aware of what the pros and cons are, really. Now, obviously, if we are growing our empire and going into two venues, that's really, really good for kind of growing your empire. But you've got to think about how you're going to distribute your time, as we've sort of talked about, Andy. Yeah.
Of course.
And it's kind of like, how much does it attract the new club coming, that are thinking about taking you on to be there? Or is it, you have to commit to that one club and just be very good? So, it's not an easy expansion, is it?
No, well, I was going to pose the question to you. So let's say in theory, I was applying for a new job or a new venue, okay? And you happen to be the chairman. And I sort of came to you and I was like, look, I'm really interested in taking this on. I'm only at one other venue, primarily, but I'd love to see what I could do, the expansion of the site. But I'm going to tell you from the outset, you can't entirely have me, but I'm going to have a head coach. So I'm going to almost oversee it as like a director of tennis role, but I'm still going to be in attendance to your club. I'm not going to just be there. I'm unfortunately not going to be there 5 times a week. I'm going to be there two, but this is what I'm going to instill as the program. This is what the head coach is going to do for you. They're still going to be the face of it, but I'm going to oversee it. Now, I guess sort of two questions is, as a chairman of this club, are you going to like what I've said in terms of actually not having me? Because you're probably going to buy into me initially, if I'm selling you a product or the products that I'm going to deliver at the club. Is that going to resonate? Or B, is it going to be kind of, well, why do I need you when you're going to implement a head coach? Why can't we just go directly to that head coach, sort of thing? So it's a bit of a vague question, sorry, but hopefully you get the gist of it.
Yeah, I think, putting in like a chairman's hat on, I suppose when you come to the interview, I'll be thinking like, I want to see what, Andy's all about. And I want to kind of really, get the feel for Andy. And if I'm going to employ Andy, then I'm really buying into you and your business. So I think the first thing that I'd be thinking of is, what's your business model going to look like? And obviously, yeah, you're a great guy, great coach, but what are you going to add to here? And obviously, with your absence, how are you going to kind of make the most of that time at the club? And like that's your second question, I think, was it more a case of, you've got the person that can then step in full time, is that right? Or the
Yeah, basically, yeah. So I will sort of still come and deliver at the club, but due to, let's just say, location, for example, at this club, unfortunately, it's a little bit out of the way, not too far, because obviously I wouldn't have applied for it in the first place. But I really want to, yeah, instill it as a part of the brand that I have. Again, like as we said, we're evolving the empire here, and I've decided that I want to do this, but now I'm expanding the team and I'm going to put this person in place. So I'm becoming very much a tennis provider to this club and putting the pieces of the jigsaw in place for them in terms of that. And I guess it's very much kind of like you're alluding to as a chairman. If I sell myself almost too well, it's a case of almost saying, well, actually, we love what you say. We love your ethos, but you're the person delivering this. So we want you to now head this up. And then does it become actually a case of a question? There are very much tennis clubs that want a court hire. Actually, there are clubs that actually were very fortunate to pay retainers, aren't there, for coaches? So then actually that club may say to me, well, actually, you know what? We'd love you to come. We're going to pay you a retainer. We want you full time. What's like, name your price sort of thing. And I guess that's kind of the dream scenario. That very rarely happens, I think, in tennis, that people sort of go like that. It's very much, yeah, you pay a court hire or you pay non-members fees and you deliver sessions to the club as a part of like maybe a contract, etc. So yeah, I guess it's very different, isn't it?
I think, I think going back to the chairman's head and obviously having somebody else coming in to do it. I mean, as long as I feel that, all banks are covered, as a chairman, you're protecting your club, really, aren't you? You're kind of basically what's in the best interests of our club. And if it was a coach coming in doing 2 times a week and then only doing 2 days a week and then going off and not doing anything else within the program, then that would, that raise alarm bells. So it's really down to me as a chairman being like kind of on it in terms of knowing exactly what you're providing for us. If you're only going to be there twice, like 2 days, what do the other 3 days, 4 days that you're not here look like? And how is that going to busy up our club and bring in new members? I think that would definitely be the one thing. Obviously in your case that you're putting through here, it might look to a chairman that actually we just want one person just there all the time, because they then they see that person around the court and they want the head coach to be the focal point of the club, so to speak. So they want you round the club more often. So, but if we as a provider and we're expanding our empire, we have to just, you just have to go in there and give it a go, right? You don't know. The other coaches that are looking for the full-time work, becoming the head coach might not be good enough. So obviously your kind of vehicle, your kind of, not vehicle, but your argument would be that I'm going to be bringing a top-notch, head coach underneath me that I will be liaising with every day, to ensure the product is as good as it possibly can be. So that just reassures the chairman a little bit more that you've got, that sort of side covered. And I think, just go for it.
Okay, thank you. I think I will, just based on that. If you were the chairman, I'm hoping you would take me on. But yeah, I think like in a nutshell, for a lot of this evolving the empire, for most people listening, it's going to be sort of stick to what you know. Certainly present yourself, who you are, you're the best version of yourself, right? What you can deliver the best, and we're going to be so strong in different areas, as mentioned, sort of using the example of you and I. I'm going to be stronger in other areas, and you're going to be stronger in other areas. But if it is essentially you going for another job, and this is speaking to anybody listening, really, I think essentially you've just got to be your very authentic self, be honest from the start. If you're looking to expand, then if you have good people around you that are able to facilitate it and certainly help you, then there's no reason why you can't evolve, can you? I mean,
No.
that's it in a nutshell. As long as it works for you and it also doesn't take away from your lifestyle, and that's very much your work life, but also your home life, because again, we're saying this from a very business orientated point of view, but actually you've got to think about your work life balance, and that is a lot of mental health as well. It's quite a big thing in the world. It's all well earning lots of money, but I think money, like the classic cliche statement, money doesn't buy you happiness. You've also got to think about the people around you, and if you're taking on too much, how does that actually affect you in the long run as well? So
Yeah, I think, maybe as a tool for expansion that people might want to use is to kind of work backwards into it, so to speak. So kind of like having your, I kind of think like having your number. So what makes you, what's going to make you really happy, basically? So how much do you want to come in per month or per year or whatever it is? Or what visions have you got for yourself, your family, that you're looking to try and bring back? So if it's a new car, if it's a bigger house, whatever it is, how have you got to get to it? And it always comes back to one number. So you put in all of your, all of your income, your expenses as it kind of leads, and obviously you're left with a certain amount of money. Now, obviously, what do you need for that to grow? And what is that number looking like? And then obviously, yeah, like I say, go into, if you're thinking of expanding, getting another club certainly can do that. And obviously, find that number, and can that club then give you that number that you're, or get you closer to that number that you're trying to get to, for not financial freedom, but to be more comfortable and obviously have more opportunities. I think that's a really useful tool to kind of do, and you'll be surprised at how well you can get there if you've got these other strands in your current business. So if you're a one man band, one club, four club, four court club with 40 or 50 kids, and you want to bring an extra £1,000 in a month, then that could be, putting a few extra rackets out there for restring, selling rackets. It could be, putting tournaments on. It could be selling grips. It could be selling balls, that type of thing. So yeah, I think there's plenty of stuff you can do there that, can really help you build your empire. And hopefully, what we've been talking about today has given you some ideas, some examples. The other one thing I will say, actually, for expansion, we haven't mentioned it, actually. And the other thing would be to encourage multi-sports, camps, things like that. So the one thing is, in tennis, is obviously not everybody is going to love tennis. We can't make everybody love tennis, although we try every single day. There is the other thing of, like parents, I'm thinking like myself and my kids, obviously when they get there, I'd like them to come to like tennis camps and stuff. That'd be great. But I'm not going to be that parent to say, right, you're definitely going all the time. But if I had a sport in there that he liked, or she, or they liked, then they might be more encouraged by going. So holiday camps, multi-sport camps, a definite way to kind of just bring in new faces. And as well expand and hopefully help you get towards that number. Is there a, sort of anything, do you agree with that, Andy? Is there anything you want to
Yeah,
add or?
100%. Yeah, for me, it's becoming like a 360-degree athlete, really. You want to be good at everything, and we've spoken about it before, the very early start initiation of the pod when we were developing our national champion from when we first met them in tots all the way to 16, 17-year-old. I think it's just, yeah, it's having that diversity in the program. But as much as you want to be diverse, you always want the people that are coming to you to be diverse, and some people become very mainstreams, very tennis orientated, which is great, no problem, great for the business. But in reality, I think all tennis coaches really want to, selfishly be working with very coordinated children, and it's not a problem if you're not coordinated, but we really encourage you actually just to go and play lots of other sports. And I think really good tennis coaches and any good sports provider coach would always encourage you to do right. If you're going to do this sport, go and do another sport. It makes you a lot better. And yeah, it's something that I've always promoted and advocated for, as I'm sure you have. So yeah, I certainly agree with you there, Mr.
Sure.
Tricky.
So yeah, so maybe as a starting point, guys, if you're thinking about expanding, try and figure out your number. think what you need and what you're doing it for, and then try and work kind of backwards in that respect, and see if you can and reach that. You know, if that is what you need to do, whether it is just adding an extra couple of services, or if it is adding a full, you know, club to your system, or if it's adding paddle or pickle or more holiday camps, just try and come up with those different ideas and try and relay those to your local community and local public. You know, to try and bring in, you know, bring in, or if you go for a new club, you know, obviously just make sure you're selling yourself, and like Andy says, like being your transparent self, because I think you will get found out if you're not, you're selling one thing that you're not. You know, it won't last long. So yeah, hopefully we've given you plenty of food for thought for that, and you know, I think it's a really important, you know, poignant point now with cost of living being so high, and you know, you need to be thinking about these sort of things anyway. So hopefully it's helped. But great to speak to you, Andy.
It's always my pleasure, Ryan. Thank you very much. Good pod today.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys, and we will speak to you again very soon.
Speak to you
Take care.
soon. Show me love.